do 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 do. The Twilight Zone. Iconic. We're fascinated by knowing the future. Most people want to know the future to get rich, avoid tragedy, and to get rich. I'm going to tell you your future, and I'm going to tell you what to do about it.
Agabus was a prophet mentioned twice in the Bible. Though he may not be the first biblical prophet who comes to mind, both of his prophecies came to pass.
There are different kinds of prophets, but I am the kind who foretells the future. No surprise, I would imagine. I'm most famous for two prophecies, both of which helped change the future of Christianity. No matter how people reacted to them, my prophecies always came true. The first important church outside of Jerusalem was in Antioch, in modern Turkey. It was important because it was the first large church that included both Jews and non-Jews. This was an important step in the growth of the church, because Antioch was one of the most important cities of the Roman Empire. News about the church in Antioch reached Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to check it out. He confirmed the good work of the church and joined in wholeheartedly. Even more people became believers. Barnabas, what a good man he was. Full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Everybody in the church loved Barnabas. So when Barnabas went to get Paul and bring him back to Antioch, the church was in a quandary. Paul was previously known as Saul, public enemy number one of all Jesus followers. He had supposedly been converted to Christianity on the road to Damascus, had gone to Arabia for 3 years, and then preached briefly in Jerusalem. From there, he had gone back to his home in Tarsus for several years. Paul was still a big unknown to the church at Antioch. Seemed like more downside than upside, if you know what I mean. Because of Barnabas's influence, the church chose to accept Paul into their company. For the next year, Barnabas and Paul taught in the city so effectively that many people came to believe in Jesus. These believers in Antioch were so well known, they got their own nickname. This is a super big deal. It all started here. The believers who followed the teachings of Jesus became known as Christians, a name that wasn't always used as a compliment, I might add. Hopefully that's not the case in your day. It was at this time I came to Antioch from Jerusalem with a group of other prophets. Through the Holy Spirit, I predicted a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. Useful information about the future, but not exactly welcomed words. That famine happened during the reign of Claudius. Remember Joseph? Old Testament, lots of brothers, fancy coat, Egyptian ruler. He prophesied a worldwide famine. He was then able to make choices about what to do. Sure enough, the famine came to pass. The precautions Joseph took changed the future of the Israelites. Similarly, the future of Christianity would hinge on the precautions taken by the church at Antioch. My prophecy created choices. The church at Antioch knew they were powerless to stop the famine. They did have the power to control their reaction. Choices. Should they store up food like Joseph did and make a big profit? Should they alert the other churches? Should they throw in the towel and head for the hills, every man for himself? What would you and your church do if you had that kind of valuable knowledge? Because of my prediction, the church at Antioch started taking up a voluntary collection to send to the Christians in Jerusalem and Judea. These were economically fragile churches because of the persecution they suffered from the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders basically shut the members of the Christian churches off from any commerce or trade within the community. That's like suddenly anyone who is a member of your church can't buy groceries at any stores, nor are they allowed to do any business in your city. It was a dire situation. Because of that collection of funds, many of the members of the churches in Jerusalem and Judea did not starve to death. In response to my prophecy, the generous actions of the Church of Antioch enabled many Christians to survive a very tough time. Let's jump ahead about a decade. Paul has completed the third missionary journey. Churches have been established throughout Asia, Macedonia, and Greece. It's amazing. The churches in Rome itself seem to be flourishing too. By the end of the third missionary journey, Paul has been away for 4 years, traveled across Macedonia, Greece, and what you know as Turkey. At the end, Paul is traveling with several men, including Luke. These men provide both physical security and emotional support for such an arduous journey. Trust me, you and your time have no idea what arduous journey can mean. They carry a large donation from the churches in Greece and Macedonia for the church in Jerusalem. Finally, they reach Israel at the huge port city of Caesarea. After they have been there several days, I arrive from Judea. The Holy Spirit leads me through winding streets to a house. It is the house of Philip, the evangelist, where Paul has been staying. I walk in the door, uninvited, and do what prophets do best. Freak people out. I reach over and take off Paul's belt, and I tie up my own hands and feet with it. The Holy Spirit says, "So will the Jews at Jerusalem tie up the man who owns this belt. They will give him to the Gentiles. They are startled," putting it mildly. Mission accomplished. Since my prophecy about the famine in the time of Claudius came to pass, everyone in that room knows without a doubt that this second prophecy will as well. They see only the bad things that might come of Paul's imprisonment. Maybe even thinking of what happened after Jesus was imprisoned. The entire room is in a near state of panic. They beg Paul not to continue with his plan to go to Jerusalem. Once again, my prophecy creates a choice that helps determine the fate of Christianity. Should Paul go or should Paul stay? They completely miss the smile on my face as I'm prophesying. I know the eventual outcome of Paul's imprisonment will be a great victory for Jesus. You know what I see when I look into Paul's face? Peace. Unfathomable peace. At the time of Paul's conversion in Damascus, Jesus told Ananias all about Paul's future. He said that Paul was chosen to carry Jesus' name to the Gentiles and their king, and that Paul would suffer for the name of Jesus. Paul knows this. Paul also knows that he's growing old, and it's time for that prophecy of Jesus to happen. Why are you crying and breaking my heart? I'm not only ready to be imprisoned, but to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. That was Paul's response. The rest of the story? Paul does go to Jerusalem. He is falsely accused by the Jewish elders. The Romans imprison him for more than 4 years, but this is the catch. Because Paul is imprisoned, he gets to preach before kings, before many influential people. His imprisonment is a key ingredient to the growth of the church. Knowing the future allowed the Christians at Antioch to prepare ahead of time to help the Christians in Judea. Knowing the future helped Paul prepare for what was coming, and for his fellow Christians to prepare to help him. Believers in Jesus know their futures. They will have eternal life. What should you do when you know the future? The Apostle Peter tells you, you should ask yourself, what kind of person should I be? Be holy and godly, following the Lord Jesus, making disciples, and help others to do so. Help poor people, widows, and orphans. Bring life, peace, and joy to those around you. Those are the sorts of choices made by people who know the future.